This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an incredible Thursday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday. And we're going to talk about illegal immigration and the church. Why are all these church NGOs? What's going on here? We'll talk about grandma. We'll talk about, well, would I go serve in the Trump administration like Bongino did? We'll talk about Republican leadership. Are they failing, succeeding? All that and so much more coming up on the final hour of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to get right to the question I teased at the end. Jesse, I was born and raised Lutheran, and I learned that the Lutheran Church has had a huge role in pushing illegals into our country. It seems the Catholics have too. Is there even a branch of Christianity that hasn't gone full commie? I don't want to donate to a church that funds this crap. Okay, there's a lot to this, and there's a lot that you'll probably find offensive, but too bad, so sad. That's how it is. First, I share your anger. You should know that it's not every church. It's not even close to being every church. There are still a bunch of really solid churches out there. And you ask about a denomination? No, because it depends on the church in every denomination, right? Are there dirtball Catholic churches out there? Of course. Are there good ones? Of course. Are there dirtball Lutheran churches out there? Of course. Are there good ones? Of course. I mean, pick your Mormon, Christian, whatever. Pick your denomination. Doesn't matter to me. There are going to be good ones. And there are going to be bad ones. That's one. So it's not all of them. Let's just be clear about that. What you're discussing is a couple different things, probably. First, there are these massive corporate churches that kind of oversee a bunch of different churches across the country. I'll just use this one as an example. Southern Baptist Association. It's a huge, huge organization. And from what I've found, from what I can tell, the larger the parent organization is, the more disgusting and despicable it is. And that's for really much the same reason corporate America turned disgusting and despicable, because they go to America's communist education system. Yes, that includes many, many, many religious schools. They go to America's communist education system and they pluck people out of there and put them into places of power in these large, it's essentially a large corporation. And these people, they don't serve God. They serve communism. Communism doesn't allow the service of two gods. That's one. So well, that's part of it, the large church corporation. Here's another part of it too, and this probably is going to hurt. I don't know that anything I just said offended you, not that I care, but this part's probably going to hurt, and it might. Christians, believers, yes, Chris, Orthodox Jews too, because of their hearts, are oftentimes the most susceptible people to communist propaganda. Part of the reason I yell all the time about not letting the communists use your values against you is because, man, Christians, you know, Catholics, Lutherans, LDS, they really can get eaten up easily by communist propaganda because you're trying to be nice. You're trying to do the right thing, and the communist will scream at you until he's blue in the face that doing the right thing means doing what he wants. You know, I've told you that story about the church I lost a few years ago during the George Floyd protests, but I'll tell you again. the pastor of this church, I'm not going to give out his name or the church, but it was in the Houston area, was one of the kindest, I'm assuming he still is, one of the kindest human beings I've ever met in my life. And you know how pastors or you know, rabbis or whatever, you know how they can be loud and really put on a performance, or it'd be really great public speakers, like these dynamic public speakers. I'm sure you've seen these. Maybe that's your pastor. This guy was really, really incredibly humble and soft-spoken and introspective, and just, you could tell, and I met him multiple times, you could tell just a really, really kind human being. And so St. George Floyd dies, you remember. You remember the video, you remember all that. And then you remember the communists immediately pounced on that and realized they could really push their revolution forward because of that video. And so the race communists immediately, white this and white that, and we're oppressed, and we get an email. The church gets an email. The church sends out an email. I think it was an email. It might have been on social media. But that the pastor, he's going to attend a conference here in the Houston area, and the conference title was "What White People Need to Know." And Ob didn't even want to show me, but she showed me right away. And immediately, honestly, I was more saddened than angry, because everything that happened after that, I knew exactly what was coming. I knew that somebody got in this nice guy's ear and told him that he was some kind of vile racist, and that America is this horribly racist place, and that as a pastor, it's really what Jesus would want to try to fix all that. And I know they appealed to every part of his emotions. And sure enough, they got him to show up at a conference. And before he even went, I sent him a message. And I actually, it was very nice, by the way. I know you think I was blasting him. I really didn't. All I said was, hey, I would love the chance to meet with you before you go to this thing. There's some really dark forces at play here, and I just want to explain what's happening. He immediately, I guess this was his arrogance in the moment, he immediately shot me down and said, no, we have to listen. It starts with listening. And boom, just ghosted me from there. He goes to his What White People Need to Know conference and shows up at church that Sunday. My jaw still drops when I think about it. Shows up at church that Sunday and gives a sermon on white privilege and all the white privilege we have. And as you can imagine, I got up and left, and I've never been back, and I never will. If it was the last church on earth, I just wouldn't go to church. I would never have my family led by such a ridiculous simpleton. Now, is that guy Chuck Schumer? Is that guy George Soros? Is that guy an evil card-carrying communist? Of course he's not. He's a very, very kind, very, very naive human being who's too weak to stand up against American communism. That's what he is. And if you are a pastor listening to the sound of my voice right now, you're probably going to be okay if you're listening to the sound of my voice. But let me explain. Part of the reason pastors and church leaders get eaten up by this too is they don't necessarily follow politics in political war, and they don't necessarily know what's going on around them. But one of my pastors at my current church, when I had a conversation with him, we sat down, we had coffee, just catching up on everything. Now, this is a human being who I genuinely like a lot, a wonderful man, a kind man, great sermon, all this stuff. You can't imagine how much he didn't know about politics in the news in the world. He's never followed it. He gets up and reads his Bible and prays and does all the things. Good stuff. But does he dig into the enemy? Does he dig into what's happening out there? No. Lots of times pastors want to wash their hands of that. I don't want to get political. I don't do politics. I'm just here to preach the word of God. Well, if you don't learn what the devil's doing, he's going to come for you. Churches are susceptible to it. Synagogues, Chris, are susceptible to it. The Muslims, not as much, but they're susceptible to it. The Mormon church, I have so many LDS people who listen and and they'll email the show, Jesse, I'm so mad at the Mormon Church. I'm so mad at the Mormon Church. And look, if that's you right now, you don't even have to click send on the email. You can send it. I get it. Same thing across the country. Your kind heart, your naivete can really, really doom you. Remember, it's not just innocent as doves. It's shrewd as snakes. Shrewd as snakes. And you cannot remain shrewd as a snake if you don't wake up and open your eyes to the demonic evil that is communism. Look, if you think it's biblical to bring a rapist into your wife's community, I would suggest we read different Bibles. I'll just put it that way. All right? All right. Jesse, now that Dan Bongino walked away from his great gig to serve his country, if Trump decides he wants to tap your sweet behind for an important role within our government, are you doing the same? That's an interesting question. Talk about that in a second. Before we talk about that, let's make sure we are protecting our retirement. How long have you been putting money into your retirement? Most of your working life, right? If not all of it. Imagine watching that all disappear. We don't know what's coming. Tariffs. I talked to Carol Roth today. She said the Biden administration, they put so many tripwires out for Trump that it's going to be virtually impossible for him to get past all of them. Financial tripwires, I mean. So what do? Sit around afraid? No, you make preparations. You lock your door at night. You have health insurance. Get some precious metals in your retirement, please. Goldco will handle it for you. And you can trust them. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. They've won awards over the last 10 years. 6,000 five-star reviews. When people go to Goldco, they get taken care of. They get taken care of so well, they go online and brag about how wonderful the experience was. Get a free copy of their 2025 Gold and Silver Kit. 855-817-GOLD. Or go to jessielikesgold.com. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, a wonderful Thursday. So let's dig right into it here because I don't have much time left to answer these amazing questions and I need to churn through them as fast as possible. Jesse, now that Dan Bongino walked away from his great radio gig to serve his country, if Trump decides that he wants to tap your sweet behind for an important role within our government, are you doing the same? First, that call is not going to come for me. Chris said, really. Well, listen, I approach all this stuff a little bit differently than a lot of people do. I am not a Trump loyalist. I am not. I've criticized Trump many times. When I don't like something, I criticize it. Obviously, I'm thrilled with this current presidency, as you've heard. But if you've listened for any length of time, you know I'll be very vocal when I see something I dislike. And Trump is staffing his administration the way he should, with loyalists, with people who are loyal to him unquestionably. I am not. I'm telling you right now, I am not. I am loyal to what I think is right. I'm loyal to the country. If I think something is wrong, I will say something is wrong, period. And it's never going to stop, ever. I don't care how many emails you said. It doesn't matter to me. It means nothing to me whatsoever. When I see something wrong, I'm going to say it. That's one. So that phone call is never going to come for me. But the purpose of, to answer your question, I would love to tell you no, right? I would love to tell you no because I like doing this. I have fun. As you can tell, we have fun. I like to laugh and I like to talk about this stuff and I like telling stories and it's like I said, it's a dream job. So I would like to say no, but that would be very, very, very difficult to say no. If it was the kind of role that was service to the country, I'm not sure I could say no. I'll put it to you that way, but you don't have to worry. Like I said, I'm not going anywhere. What, Chris? What? Chris said, so you just do a weekend show. I mean, I guess you could, right? I guess you could, but don't worry. I'm not going anywhere. Like I said, that call is not going to come for me. Dear White Trash Jesse, I was catching up on my Jesse Kelly shows, and I was listening to the one from January 31st. Jeez, lady, you're a month behind. I laughed out loud when Jesse was talking about how his grandma would bake homemade bread and then go to the garden and fart while picking green beans. He could have been talking about one of my grandmas. She had a heart of gold and would give you the shirt off her back, but she kept us in stitches with her walking farts. She's been gone now for about 29 years, and I miss her every day. Thanks for the memories, Jesse, says I can say her name. Her name is Marilyn. Look, different people are raised different ways, and maybe that was a generational thing. My grandma would just tear one off mid-conversation, and you know I'm immature, and I'm a dude. Farts are funny. You have any idea what it's like to try to hold back a fart because your mother was staring daggers into you because grandma just cooked one off mid-conversation and you're trying to hold it back, and then you see mom's mad, and that only makes it even funnier. And I'm telling you what, it's brutal. I've got a still living family member who does it too. I'm not going to call this person out on the air, but I'm telling you what, it is freaking hilarious. Hilarious. The still living person? Farted on an elevator, inside of an elevator with me, and to this day, it is the longest fart I've ever heard in my entire life, by a mile, and didn't bat an eye, just absolutely tore one out, and did not bat an eye. What, Chris? There was no knowledge of how long it lasted, to answer your question. Chris asked, did they acknowledge how long it lasted? I'm at the age, I'm 43 going on 83. You can tell by how I dress and by the fact that I don't have any hair left. Look, my mom isn't there to hold me back anymore. She wasn't in the elevator at the time. I started laughing hysterically, and I was laughing so hard I had tears coming down my face, and there was nothing that I could do to stop it, okay? There's nothing I could do. Jesse, since the drive-by media will never give conservatives a fair shake, why doesn't Republican leadership continue to run advertisements outside of election season? I know it's cheap. I know it's not cheap, but it's one of the few ways to smack Norm and Norma with truth bombs. Well, it comes – you really nailed it. It all comes down to money. If you want the Republican Party, if you want the powers that be in the Republican Party to run ads year-round, so you know they're on during football, they're on during this, they're on during all this other, well, that takes money. All this stuff takes money. We don't like thinking about money in politics because we just want people to do things for the right reasons. Isn't that what you want? That's what I want. But that's not realistic. Money matters. Money is the lifeblood of politics, as they say, and it really is true. You know, if you have a politician you like, at the local level too, remember, local level, state level, federal, this isn't all congressmen and senators. Maybe it's just Donald Trump or whatever, but if you have one you like, you should donate to their campaign if you can. Now, Trump doesn't need your money anymore. He's out of terms. He's not doing it anymore. But if you can donate money, if it's $5, whatever, they do need it. It really does matter. I used to tell people all the time when I was campaigning, look, it's not going in my pocket. If you want me to spread the message on television to people who don't show up at campaign events, I need money. You know, they don't just give you TV commercials for free. And they don't give out IQ Sense for free either. IQ Sense, I feel wrong calling it a wireless cooking thermometer because that's what it is. But in my opinion, that oversimplifies the miracle that is IQ Sense. You know who appreciates IQ Sense more than me? My family. Because they know that I'm not a pit master. I just like to goof off. They understand that. But man, when it's pulled pork time, brisket time, little beer can chicken, whatever it is, to have this cooking thermometer that you stick in there and then leave in there. Remember, if you're looking, you're not cooking. IQ Sense gives you that freedom. You put the thermometer in and you walk away. Well, how will I know what temperature? It hooks up to an app on your phone. You can even select what you're making. Oh, I'm making this. I'm making that. It's all in the app on your phone. It's super easy. Don't be intimidated by it. I can do it. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. And then your phone will tell you when it's done. You don't have to do, you can go watch TV. Your phone will let you know. ChefIQ.com. Code Jesse gets you 15% off. ChefIQ.com. Code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Don't forget, if you miss me, you can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Before we get back to the emails, Howard Lutnick, he's the Commerce Secretary, by the way. He's out there talking about, remember I played that audio of Trump the other day where he's talking about selling, instead of green cards, selling gold cards. For $5 million, you can buy a gold card, which will lead you to citizenship, the United States of America. Essentially, it's selling citizenship. That's what it is, selling citizenship. And Lutnick came out and said this
about it.
These
are vetted people. These are going to be great global citizens who are going to bring entrepreneurial spirit, capacity and growth to America. If one of them comes in, think of the jobs they're going to bring with them, the businesses they're going to bring with them, and they're going to pay American taxes as well. So this is huge money for America.
And how many people are waiting in this line currently?
So there are 250,000 people waiting in line now. If they're willing to pay the $5 million, that's over $1 trillion. That comes directly to $1,250,000,000,000 just for that line. And I think these people are going to come enormous ways because they know they can come into America and they can be in the greatest country on earth.
All right. Look, I made my thoughts known on it. I don't like it. I don't like selling American citizenship, but $1 trillion. Okay. Say I give you that. Where's it going? Now, let me stop you real quick. Not where you want it to go. Not where I want it to go. Where's it going to actually go? If you tell me every penny of that money will go directly to paying down the national debt, something like that, okay, look, I'm warming up to it. Not saying I'm on board. I'm warming up to it. But do we believe that Washington, D.C. is going to come into a $1 trillion shortfall or $1 trillion windfall, a $1 trillion windfall, and they're going to use it to do something boring and necessary like pay down the debt? Or do we believe Washington, D.C. will find a way to blow that money to gain more money and power for themselves? Just asking. You pay attention to politics like I pay attention to politics. Do you think you can just airdrop $1 trillion in D.C. and they'll do the right thing with it? And even if you believe Trump will, and I actually believe Trump would do that, he probably would put it right against the debt or something like that, or at least he would want to. Trump's gone in 3.5 years. The next guy, what's he going to do with it? How long are we going to be selling American citizenship for? Who are Democrats going to sell it to? Something to think about. Dear Pinocchio of the nose hair world, I hate you guys. I'm never telling you anything again. What are your thoughts on recent moves to take funding away from SNAP and food stamp distribution? The numbers being thrown around are an estimated 40 million people are on these programs. How is this possible without the U.S. being considered a third world country? His name's Bradley. Mike Johnson talked a bit about that today.
You don't want able-bodied workers on a program that is intended, for example, for single mothers with two small children who's just trying to make it. That's what Medicaid is for, not for 29-year-old males sitting on their couches playing video games. We're going to find those guys and we're going to send them back to work. That's what everybody supports.
How does this happen? Look, politicians get elected by promising to hand out things, not take things away. Very, very rarely will you ever see a politician run for office promising to take things from people. And then once they get into office, they don't want to take anything away from people because they understand bribing voters with their own money is what gets you reelected. I'll come back to this budget talk we've been talking, this gigantic, disgusting budget that's 100% going to get passed once it gets done with reconciliation and all that stuff. This horrible, horrible budget. You're mad about it. I'm mad about it. Why do they do it? What's the real reason? Why are they still spending at World War II levels? Why didn't they cut back after COVID at least, right? Because this is a huge COVID increase. Why didn't they cut back? Why? Nobody wants to be the one to take something away. I've talked about the national debt, our spending like this many times before. I've compared it to this gigantic party. Pretend like you've rented out Dave and Buster's, right? All the video games and beer and darts and pool and whatever you want, sports, everything you could possibly imagine. And for years and years and years and years and years, we have been in Dave and Buster's living it up on the credit card. And the politicians are the ones minding the door, letting people in. Hey, Bob, come on in. Enjoy Dave and Buster's. Nobody, Republican or Democrat, nobody wants to be the one to stop the music, shut the video games off, turn the lights on, and start telling people, hey, no more beer, no more video games. In fact, everybody, grab a mop. We're going to start cleaning this place up. We're going to start dusting. The party's over. We've spent too much money here. Politicians love to give things out. And whenever you start any program at all, it actually comes right back to the gold card I was just talking about. Even if you love the idea now, sounds good, Trump will implement it well. Who's going to be the one that finally takes it away? Nobody. This whole welfare society we have now, 40 million people on this stuff, you get a government check and you get a government check and you get a government check. These programs, almost all of them, started extremely small, and they've never shrunk. They just get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Why? Because politicians are not leaders. They are followers, and not the American people, all people love for their governments to give them things. Give me something. Write me a check. Give me a stimmy check. I need, pay me for this. And that's how you stay in office. These huge budgets, every single senator throws in $100 million for his state. Every single congressman, oh, I need a little money for this. I need a little money for that. Hey, can you build me a new airport? Hey, I want to name a public park after me. Can you throw that money in there? And they love going back and handing out that cash to their states and their districts. And then they campaign on it. Look at what I did. You enjoy that new airport? Jesse Kelly Airport, courtesy of me. Vote for Jesse Kelly. You don't get elected running back to your state saying, I made sure we didn't get a dime. In fact, in order to be fiscally responsible, I made sure you got even less money than you got before. Hey, vote for Jesse Kelly. Not a winning message, is it? It's what's needed, of course, but hard to get elected being the guy who tells you we got to turn on the lights and grab a broom. All right, one segment left. We'll talk about mass deportation. We're going to talk about somebody's not happy about the chief of naval operations getting laid off. Somebody wants to know if I've ever been sugar cookied. All that and so much more coming up on the final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. Before we get to that, let's get to Pure Talk. You need a new phone. Your phone is old. It's slowed down. I know what you're looking at. I see all those cracks in the screen. I know you've dropped it a million times. My wife drops hers 10 times a day. I know exactly what you're going through. Well, Pure Talk is here to help you with that too. They don't just provide the patriotic mobile service. They don't just save you a ton of money. You know, with a qualifying plan, they're giving out iPhone 14s and Samsung Galaxies. $0. Brand new phone. Brand spanking new. $0 with a qualifying plan. Dial #250 and say, Jesse Kelly. We're talking 10 minutes on the phone. You switch during the break. You switch your phone service. It's all on the phone. Speaking to an American, because that's who they hire, who speaks English. #250 Say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, reminding you that I'm not going to be here tomorrow or Monday. I had a family member pass away. I've got to go pay my respects to that wonderful family and just whatever, just a crappy season. It was just a crappy season of life. It is what it is. We all go through them. You've gone through them. If you haven't, you will. It is what it is. But I will be back, Lord willing, on Tuesday. I'll be back. We'll probably do Medal of Honor Tuesday, but I wanted to make sure you knew I'm going to be gone for a couple of days. And I'm sorry. I wish I wasn't. Nothing I can do about it. All right? All right. Let's knock out as many of these questions as you can. Jesse, as a Marine, have you or anyone you knew been sugar cookied? Now, sugar cookied is not exactly a common term. I'm sure you have no idea what that means. Have you ever heard the Navy SEALs or seen anything with buds when they're doing their Navy SEAL training, trying to become Navy SEALs, when they tell them to get wet and sandy? That's what we always knew sugar cookied as. They call it sugar cookied because you go get in the water, which is generally freezing, and then you come out and they make you roll around in the sand, so now you're wet and sandy. And really, what's worse than being wet and sandy when it's in between your clothes, when it's in your boots? Your boots is the worst part of it, when it's in your boots. And to answer your question, I don't think I ever was sugar cookied in that way, because we weren't ever, and tell me this isn't the shaft. So I joined the Marine Corps. And I don't know if you know this, but Marine kind of indicates water, right? The ocean. Maybe. I joined the Marine Corps, and with the exception of a six-month stretch in Okinawa, I spent 7/8 of my 4 years in the Marine Corps in the desert. Either it was the Mojave Desert, or it was the Iraqi Desert. I hardly ever saw the freaking ocean. I joined the Marine Corps, and I hardly ever saw the ocean. Tell me that isn't the shaft. Dear historical perfect hands oracle, several months ago, you spoke and prepared us for the fallout and hysteria that would come from mass deportations. The deportations aren't even being covered right now. They're more mad about Musk and the crew opening the desk drawers and have a look around. I didn't expect that, but it's very revealing. I believe the corruption is deeper than I can comprehend. 4 years is not enough to fix it. Do you think America has a chance? Oh, gosh, of course we have a chance. What's happening right now is incredibly valuable, and it's not only because of what's happening right now. It's because it's opening people's eyes to the corruption, and that's step one for waking people up. And yeah, they're freaking out about having their whole scam exposed, and the scam is finding ways to use your money to fund their revolution. I've told you for how long that the communist activism you see is funded and organized. And now you're seeing it's funded by you. It hurts. It freaking hurts. That's why they're freaking out.
I think they should get Elon Musk out of there messing with any of our departments.
But we long to be, you know, don't you want to be accountable to what's happening with the homeless and everyone that is out on
but
the streets?
We want
the people that have mental illness.
We don't want a non-elected man appointed by the president to start making people go home, lose their jobs, and all of that.
How can they lose their jobs? We're going to have more money to wear than someone else.
Oh, no, he's tricking you. You're getting fooled.
They're so mad that the scam has been exposed, the ultimate scam. Here's another scam. Thinking you can mask your pain and it'll just go away. That's a scam. What do you do when your foot hurts? When your shoulder's bugging you? What do you do? I know what you do. You either ignore it and then you're crabby all the time, snapping at people, or you take something to mask it, which is awful for you. Why don't you just reach for the relief factor and start taking it every day? It's 100% drug-free. It's a supplement. Your body hurts because it's inflamed. It's inflammation. Relief Factor uses a unique formula of natural ingredients that support your body's response to that inflammation. Your body's already trying to fight it. It's trying to fight it. It knows your shoulder hurts. It's working on it. It needs some help. You don't have to take my word for it that Relief Factor works. They sell three-week quick starts for $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com and get some. ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. All right? All right.
And now...
Here's a headline.
By the, go, you know the thing.
Emails!
We didn't get to.
Jesse, I didn't see anything DEI heavy from our former chief of naval operations, so why the layoff? Her Project 33 has initiatives in it that seem focused on being ready for war with China by 2027. I don't care either way, but I haven't seen Hegseth put any explanation on this. Do you have any insight? I don't have any insight on her specifically, but I will tell you that what they're doing right now, the reason some of this stuff seems slower and more deliberate is they're going through all the emails, all the trainings. They're figuring out who did what behind the scenes. And a lot of this stuff is stuff you or I will never have access to. For her to get let go that quickly means they saw something they really, really, really did not like. And look, there need to be a lot more firings than there are of the top brass of the military, but I believe those are coming. I'm hardly a patient man, but there's a reason I've been preaching patience on this stuff. They are being deliberate, trying to get this done the right way. As soon as that stops, I'll let you know. Jesse, what happened to Trump's threat of, quote, all hell will break loose if the Israeli hostages are not released on the Saturday deadline? Trump needs to back up his threat with deadly force against the Hamas animals. Have a great weekend to you and your crew. Well, Trump also does not want American troops involved in any of this stuff. And so that means there's only two ways you could do that. If you don't want any troops to risk their lives, because Trump doesn't want those headlines and Trump is more of a non-interventionist, then that means you're dropping bombs on them or shooting cruise missiles at them. And that generally is not going to work if they're embedded in the population, if they're buried in, it's not necessarily going to work. It's not a cave in Afghanistan. It's an urban population. So if you can't do that, then that means all hell breaks loose is Trump turning Israel loose. That's really what he wants. And he's basically said as much publicly several times. He's told Netanyahu, hey, go get him. Gloves are off. Remember, Israel is, look, it's a very weird relationship we have with Israel. And there are actually excellent arguments people have made that for both of our sake, maybe we should stop doing this because we handcuff them. You know, we now that the Democrats hate them, every 4 years, if a Democrat gets elected, they're extremely hamstrung by what they can do. The Joe Biden administration put them in handcuffs is what they did, because the Joe Biden administration realized half the Democrat base are Hamas lovers. It's just kind of how politics work. All right. So I'm checking out of here and I'll be back in a couple days. Don't miss me too bad. I will miss you. All right. That's all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.